Hey, so this week we've got Smitty Smith, the guru of everything at Edelbrock, who's going to fill us in on what's going on, what are the cool products, and what he's been doing for over the past, what is it, Matt, 45 years in the aftermarket?
Yeah, he's been there for a long time, and he's been at Edelbrock for 30-plus years?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
So this is the guy to go to when you have those questions. And it's all brought to you by the people that Matt's going to tell you about right now.
Yeah, our friends at Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you. So what are you guys waiting for? You should go in there and check it out. There's never been a better time to switch to Geico than now. You'll save an extra 15% if you switch by October 7th. So visit geico.com to learn more.
Hey, hey, hey. This is NFL Hall of Famer Ray Lewis. I'm excited to announce the launch of my new podcast, Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast. I'll be talking with friends, family members, old teammates, athletes, celebrities, moguls. And guess what? I'll be talking to you. Listen, this is all in the search for everyday greatness. So I'm asking you to come along with me on this ride. Download new episodes of Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast, every Friday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on PodcastOne.com. It's not what you have. It's what's inside of you that actually inspires greatness.
And places with your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Yeah, man, it's going to be good today. And I somewhere along the line, we lost Matt. He'll be back. I guarantee you he'll be back. So
Adam probably called him on an errand, you know, coffee.
So, I'm going to tell you right at the top. I know somebody that should have had insurance like Geico, dude. I mean,
yeah, dude. Oh, those pictures were killer.
Oh. It's something else, and we'll bring it into you. If you're this is why you want to watch our video feed on Facebook, everybody, because I'm going to show you some photos of what happened. You're going to see expressions. You're missing it all. But anyways, what happened? So I am at work about a week ago, and all of a sudden, actually, I take it back. I was on a on another podcast.
Yeah, you're doing a podcast.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here doing the interview, and all of a sudden, somebody comes in, and you know, you look over the top of the screen, and you're trying to stay focused on the show, and there's Charlotte going 911, 911,
which had to be scary in itself.
Emergency, and I'm like going. Trying not to, you know, yay, that's right, you know, and I go, you know, and she goes, it's really bad. And I go, excuse me a second, guys. I go, is my mom all right? And she goes, yeah, but it's really bad. You need to go now. And I'm just like, guys, I got to go. And I leave. I leave the show right in the middle. And it is a good way to get asked back because they had me back the following week to explain why I darted.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah
cliffhanger.
But what happened was some dude decided that going down my street, a residential street, at 80, 85 miles an hour was the good thing to do. And what one of the witnesses said was that he had passed him at the four-way stop and sailed through the intersection and did the full-on fall guy, man. That truck, he said it went like 3 feet in the air. But unlike Lee Majors in The Fall Guy, who landed right and went straight, this guy got squirrely. Now, the first thing he did was, look at that power pole. For those of you that have the
– oh, my gosh.
That's 24 inches around, and he sheared off the base. Took it with him.
They broke it in half, it looks like.
Oh, man, they had to bring the crew out, man. Put a new one in.
You got to see the pictures, folks. Oh, yes. My God.
Then he went through my tree. Okay, so he went through a 10-foot tall tree. I've never seen anybody go through a tree. Usually the tree stops him, but he took the stump and everything, ripped it from the tree, and pushed it through the driveway and bolted against a big storage container that I had in my yard getting ready for remodeling. And
yeah, you said it moved that storage a couple feet or something, right?
6 feet. Aaron, 6 feet down the road. And I mean, we're
it's a couple thousand pounds.
Yeah, because it was full. And
you know, not the kind on wheels like a dumpster, but like a full on container, right?
No, this was sit on the ground, ocean going, one of those heavy steel containers, and it was full. And now the guy jumped out, walked away. He crawled out through the window and walked away. And, you know, this was the full on Toyota Tundra pre runner. It was. It had fiberglass front fenders, big shocks, big wheels and tires, and which I've been finding all those parts all over my yard, man. Every time I move a bush or something, there's another shock absorber. His fenders were on top of my air conditioning unit. The good thing, well, there's nothing good about this, but there is. The good thing is that he didn't kill anybody. Himself or anybody else. Yeah. 6:30 in the evening when families are out walking around, everybody's out, you know, visiting and doing things like that. And this guy comes screaming down the street. So now I got to deal with the disaster, but man, what an ordeal. And just destroyed, poked holes in my garage doors because stuff went flying and, you know, branches from trees, everything, you know. So
do you have any cost estimates? I can imagine that telephone pole was like, what, 40, 50 grand probably,
the guy
right?
told me the telephone pole alone was about 45 grand. And that was for Southern California Edison to replace it and come out. Then there's AT&T had to come out. Then Dish, or not Dish, whatever, Comcast Cable had to come out. And I'm not talking just me, dude. There were people without power, without anything for 200 people, they said, for 12 hours. And you should have seen the riot on my block when those kids found out they weren't going to have Netflix or internet. I mean, they were out there screaming around. But
the local Starbucks was overwhelmed.
It was a disaster. But let's talk about something good. Something good is that we might see a live event come back because Barrett Jackson announced that October 22nd through the 24th, they're going to do a live auction in Scottsdale where you always see the big Scottsdale auction. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. Matt and I were discussing it earlier.
It's pretty cool because, they normally do Las Vegas in September and then they do Palm Beach. But what they're going to do is those are both canceled. They're going to consolidate and have what they call a fall auction right there in
Arizona.
Scotland.
Yeah. And that's really cool in their home base.
Yep. Now, some of the stuff that's going to change is it looks like it's only going to be bidders, consigners, and some guests that are going to be present. No big crowds of people. And you've seen it when they televised the Scottsdale auction, how big and massive that place is. I've been there. It's huge. Well, they're knocking it down by 75%. So about 25% capacity in order to have proper social distancing and everything like that. And
what a trip.
Oh, man. And I guess the stadium's putting in all that ultraviolet air conditioning where the air goes through ultraviolet to, you know, to clean it up and get rid of any of the contaminants. And
they're going full hospital tech, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Nice. You got it.
Well done.
Now, the good thing is you can still watch it on TV. And it's looking like this New Deal will finally be able to see some light as History Channel, which took it over from Discovery, will air it on FYI Network and the History Channel. So you'll be able to watch it, be able to see it. And Aaron, they've got tons of memorabilia and hundreds of cars already consigned. So,
well, I would imagine, you know, with the times and people needing or wanting to get rid of stuff and some of the events already having been canceled, I'm sure they probably have some good inventory to get rid of. So
yeah,
check them out.
These would be great. Let's keep our fingers crossed because we know Good Guys had their fall show scheduled that they always do, and it's been postponed. And we sure don't know what's going to happen with SEMA at this point. They're telling us they're going to do it, but you know, what do you think?
I got that survey. I was looking through it, and it's very interesting. They're like, you know, do you want it outside? Do you want it virtual? Do you want it this? Do you want it that? And there's some good opportunities for feedback there. I'm just, you know, the organization is so organized, to use the same word. But it's going to be really interesting to see how it ends up going, because last time I talked to them, they were at near capacity for booths. And, I mean, are we going to have a virtual SEMA? You know, I mean, is it going to be on location SEMA? Is it going to be – because the convention center next door isn't done yet, right?
No, it's still being built. I mean, right. You know, one of the things, you know,
capacity is an issue.
That survey that you talked about is that they were talking about having it outside. Would you attend if it was outside under tents? And that's a possibility. You know, it would be on all the surrounding parking lots, and then normally that are filled with crates, and I'm sure all the crates go inside where the booths normally are, you know?
But
you've got to look at all the infrastructure around it. Vegas is still not fully open. CES, Consumer Electronics Show, which is the largest, you know, trade show, just announced that there won't be one in January. Now, that's January.
They're going virtual.
They're going virtual. Now, the difference is that a lot of those companies, you start talking Sony, Sharp, Panasonic, blah, 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 blah. They're kind of set up for a virtual trade show. They're used to doing that, where many of the aftermarket companies may not. So it's going to be interesting. I hope it happens. As you, I, and Matt have discussed, you know, for us to be there is definitely of interest and definitely something that, you know, I want to support and be there. But from the show standpoint, unlike previous years where we've worked with our partners like Magnaflow, where we've got a stage,
ours is a
business too, but there's no business there for us other than covering content. There's no business for us to, you know, draw people over to their booths to do our appearances and things like that. Plus with social distancing, a lot of that's going to be curtailed anyway. So,
it's going to be very interesting. And I keep telling my wife, you know, I'm we're over 50 now, and it's one of those things where we're kind of in that demographic. It's like, is it worth going to, you know, if it's not a business decision for us, if it's just a friendship and social decision, we want to support our friends. Of course we want to support our friends, but it's really hard to get perspective on the idea of, should we, is it safe for us to go? I mean, that's, no matter how many precautions they take, it just seems like a worst case scenario for being in an environment of social risk, you know.
Well, let's look back to CES.
They'll take every precaution.
CES last year was kind of the petri dish for this whole thing. People from China came over, everything, and then everybody disseminated around the country. So it's hard. I mean, you know what? If SEMA
it's very hard
this year, it'll be hard. It'll be it'll be another thing in 2020. But when it comes back in 2021. Let's wait and see. Maybe everything will get great and we'll get back, you know? So,
it's like anything else, like you and I discussed too. It's like if you can't go this year, you're jonesing to go for next year, you know? You're just building up that anxiety of, and that excitement of, I gotta go, man. I missed it. I gotta go, you know? So it may be bigger and better and more tuned in than ever next year.
No kidding. You know? Well, let's bring our guest in, Smitty Smith from Edelbrock, and get Matt tuned back in here. Looks like he dropped out. We'll bring them both back in, and we'll continue because we got a bunch of stuff to talk about about performance parts from Edelbrock. Let's get that happening right now.
Matt just texted me and said a red truck came through his front yard.
That guy, I don't know how he got it back on the road so fast.
All right, let's get Smitty.
All righty. So, Smitty, welcome to Shift and Stare. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We are doing fantastic.
Awesome.
So, I know that Matt has been telling us all about Smitty and that you were going to come on. Now, you've been around the performance aftermarket forever and with Edelbrock and doing so much cool stuff. Just give us a little bit of background to start from.
I grew up in with my parents racing jalopies back down in Gardena Stadium in Ascot. So I've been in this my whole life and always into cars. Been in cars my whole life. Worked at a speed shop out of high school, service center speed shops. You might remember in Southern California.
Wow.
And I worked for Mr. Gasket for a short stint back in 1980 and been with Edelbrock 30 years. So
wow.
I love the performance aftermarket, love going fast.
Tell us a little bit about your role now at Edelbrock, or specifically, when you started with Edelbrock, what were you doing, and how did it evolve into what you're doing today?
They initially hired me just to be a technician answering phones. And back then, we only had four guys total. And within the first year, they appointed me a manager, and I grew it up to about 10 guys. And then I got involved with my background, as you know, Matt, doing MPMC conferences.
Oh, yeah.
With our advertiser media department. Back then was Cami Edelbrock in the early 90s and stuff. Mm-hmm. But they wanted my knowledge for making sure that when guys.
Oh!
Uh-oh.
He left us with a cliffhanger.
Guys!
Hey, Smitty. Can you hear us? No.
Kind of lost the internet connection.
I think a pre-runner truck just ran into his telephone pole.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, there he is. There he is.
All right. So, all right.
He left us on guys. Total cliffhanger.
Don't move.
Yeah.
So guys,
okay.
So guys were coming in and you were filling them in on what?
Say that again?
Well, you were telling the story about that you were the part that when guys came in and asked that, and you left it there.
I was making sure that, like Matt and the media conferences, that they had the right recipe of parts to make an engine build. You know, the right manifolds, camshafts, cylinder heads for their power package. The recipe.
To get that right blend so that they didn't go putting a small cam with a big tunnel ram or, over carburate the thing, right?
Right. Making sure they all work together.
Right, right. So what is it that you're doing over there now? Explain some of the role that, because that what you're talking about sort of evolved into a bigger role.
Yeah, I do a lot. I wear a lot of hats. I do a lot of media stuff. Now with our company being a little bit different with our parent company acquiring the CAMS group, I'm doing a lot of tech support through our Salesforce, which is tech emails. In the last year, I've done over 10,000 tech emails. So make sure that they have the right parts.
Wow, that's a big job.
Yeah, it's a big deal. We also answer all the tech stuff for Summit Racing and American Muscle and CJ Pony Parts. So it's all directed to us through Bizarre Voice Connections.
Now, Smitty, along that lines, and I'm not asking you to name names or anything like that, but I'm sure you've seen your share of interesting questions roll through the tech line. Because I know we see our share just at our wheel company, and we're not dealing with camshafts and carburation and everything like that. Tell us some of the more interesting things that you've been asked about over the years.
One that comes to mind is a customer if you're familiar with the Edelbrock carburetor, of course, all of you probably are.
Yeah.
Very.
Oh, no.
Hold on. We lost your audio.
It happens every time he's got something great to tell us.
And frozen.
Oh, man. This is the worst. So, Smitty, we lost you again, man. We can see you. We just can't hear you.
I can.
There you go. Pick it up where you left off. The one that comes to mind.
So they had the fuel line hooked up to the front PCV port, and he continued to crank the engine over, and he filled up the engine with gas.
And what's wrong with that? Now, from a technical standpoint, there is something wrong there.
Well, I think it falls into hydrolocking, doesn't it?
Yeah. But now we have a little tag. This is a fuel inlet on the nipple. So, I mean, so guys know what they're, we got to make it dummy proof.
You can never underestimate the customer. I had a guy once who crawled under his car and he couldn't get, you know, if you've ever put like in an old muscle car, the fuel tank straps, they got to be really tight. So they're very hard to get in, you know, to get that bolt in. And the guy just done a dozen of the zip ties to hold it in. And I said, you realize when you put gas in that, that's not going to work. And he goes, oh, no, man, I got like 12 of them on there. That'll work. No way. You know,
12 zip ties holding the gas tank in.
Yeah. There's no problem. Well,
stories, I'm sure.
He's probably the same guy that hooked his fuel line to the PCV.
Same guy.
I actually bought a little sports car just out of high school, and I would literally, Brad, if you remember our house in Malibu, it had that long, big track on the front gate that was about an inch high, and it was always like kind of a big bump to get over. Well, I came over that, and when I landed, both my front wheels fell off, and half of my front end just collapsed. The lug nuts were epoxied on.
So
I had bought this little Alfa Romeo, and I thought my dad was going to kill me. I traded this car I had and got this little Alfa Romeo. It was a little Spider Veloci thing. It was a nice one, and like the one Matt had, and with the little holes in the wheels. You know, Matt.
Yeah.
It was the same one.
The phone dial wheels.
Matt's lugs were threaded on though.
Yeah. I mean, the thing was only like 4 years old. Total car. Yeah. So I think that was intentional, but it was one of those, what the hell moments.
So Smitty, what's new over at Edelbrock? What is the red hot thing that everybody listening should want to know about?
The top end kits are the hottest product category we have right now, because it's a proven, dyno proven recipe that we've done that makes the power we say, if it's got the right compression ratio. I mean, we got 350 Chevys making 460 horsepower and 9.5 to 1.
Oh, it's awesome.
That's great. Now we all know that LS motors are just like on fire. It's like every guy you talk to, the first things out of his mouth is LS this. What's Edelbrock got going on over there for the hot LS setup?
Well, we've got something that we introduced at SEMA, a dual throttle body cross ram. That was pretty hot. Wow. And superchargers, of course, Edelbrock superchargers are, we offer crate motors like the new Gen 5 with the LT, 850 horsepower on pump gas.
Wow.
Jeez.
Supercharged crate motor.
That will really make the Isetta go fast.
Yeah, it would make the Isetta go fast. The supercharger business has grown to be pretty big for you guys, and I guess it was a way for Edelbrock to really get into the modern engines without having to offer like a top end kit, which is more traditional, like what you're talking about, right? Make big power with a bolt on kit.
When the LS was came out, we tried the way that Edelbrock was used to: camshaft, cylinder heads, headers, manifolds. You know, $5,000 later, you got 70 horsepower. Supercharged $5,000, you got 150 or 200. So the supercharger really opened the door for our company.
What's going to be happening next? Now, first of all, there were some big changes with Edelbrock in the past year or so. Like you said, the big private equity, holding company that runs Comp Performance Group acquired Edelbrock as well. And then I believe moved all of Edelbrock or most of Edelbrock to Tennessee, where Comp Cams is and Fast. And
currently we still have our main corporate headquarters in Torrance, but okay, our warehouse moved last February to Mississippi, where the Comp warehouse is at. So we're under the same roof. Nothing's moved to Memphis yet for our company. We still have personnel here. We're just kind of merging through emails. They've been out to visit us. We've been out to visit them. but the time will tell.
Right.
A lot of money in California.
So what's really happened was just all of the shipping out of the products. So, that side of it was consolidated out in Memphis, but all of your R&D and your new product development, your dyno testing, your crate engine building, and your customer service, that's all still in the old big red building that we know in Torrance.
Yeah, still there. Still there for now.
Yeah, good.
Now, what's on the horizon? Because we talk about how there may be a SEMA show, there may not be a SEMA show this year. Can you give us a little insight as to what some of the new products might have been or what engines you're developing for or what the focus is?
Well, with everything we've been through in the last year, like you said, Matt, there hasn't been much new products except for maybe our fuel injection, the ProFlow 4 fuel injection, self-learning, communicating ECU to distributor and tablets. That would probably be the highlight and new applications for superchargers.
Yeah, okay. That's going to be pretty interesting. Listen, I know a very good friend of ours here at Shift and Steer is Ken Lingenfelter, and Lingenfelter has stepped up his game. He's kind of all in with the partnership with Edelbrock and all of the supercharger packages that he's doing, whether he's doing his own tuning and a few things to make it a little more unique to his audience, but everything from the Chevy Colorado to his Corvettes and all sorts of trucks. He's that's a huge endorsement in my book because, we're big fans of Lingenfelter, Ken especially, and the quality of that company, what they do.
He's a great guy. Hey, Smitty.
I'm sorry.
I walked on you. Go ahead. Finish your answer. I'm sorry.
We private label them for Lingenfelter and put their name on them. So it's either Edelbrock or Lingenfelter. They're pretty much the same. But like Matt said, he does custom tune his stuff.
Yeah.
Now, coming from your background, you've been around this forever. You're one of those guys that lived and breathed carbureted motors. Now, if you take the average hot rod muscle car and the guy who, because I talk to these guys all the time at shows, and I'm sure you do, that, oh, man, I'm not going to that fuel injection stuff. I mean, I got a Edelbrock carb on here, and that's just perfectly fine, or a double pumper, or whatever the case is. Why don't you kind of give some of our, in the time we have left, just a little bit of a highlight into why they would want to go and convert to a fuel injection. Because I know that I've seen it on a couple of my cars where, man, difference a day and night.
The thing that the people want is they want that new car feature. You reach in the window, turn the key, it'll start and idle. Just like your daily driver, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've been able to produce with the ProFlow fuel injection. You know, it'll start and idle like a new car. It's got the wideband O2 sensor. You can drive it. It's like a new car. You don't have the heat soak or the fuel doesn't evaporate from a carburetor with the EFI. You know, high pressure, and it works well. The EFI is growing, and we can't keep up with demand presently, which is sad.
And the tunability is so much easier than going in and trying to replace jets and, all the stuff that a carburetor has,
They ask you the camshaft duration, the cubic inches, what pound per hour injectors. You got like five basic questions. You key it into the wireless Bluetooth tablet and you're good to go.
It's amazing how far we've gone with those fuel injection systems. We made them a lot more affordable and then took as much of the complex tuning out of it by making the self-learning systems. And it's been pretty amazing. And Brad, like what you were saying, when you want to go on a road trip or something like that, the change of altitude and all that stuff doesn't really change much. It's not going to change the drivability of the vehicle.
And that's a big issue up here in Tahoe, of course, because we go down to hot August nights, or we go down to, the midnight mass, and we're driving, carbureted cars, and man, it's like they're running like crap, or our idle goes way up when we go to sea level, and the cold too, it's cold up here, so a lot of them are cold blooded, and then it's too hot, and you start getting vapor lock in your fuel system. It's just, carbureted fuel injection.
I remember always having a Sharpie in my back pocket so that I could, you know, once I rejetted the carb, I could write on it what I put so that I knew. So if it didn't run right, I could, I put this in there, you know, and, you know, all that's
up. I had these etched plates on my Mustang because I had dual pumpers on that. And I had them adjusted for altitude markings and temperature, and it was way too nerdy.
And one of the things that you said, Smitty, which is spot on, is that evaporation. Because a lot of these cars, I know mine, they don't get driven every weekend, but when you jump in with a fuel injected car, boom, starts right up. You're not sitting there pumping it and trying to get the, you know. So
unless it's a throttle body injection. I have a throttle body on my Onophilia, on my 350 truck, and I do have to pump that when I start it after a while. I'm really confused. It's an old throttle body. So it's Smitty, an old injection system.
We're running out of time. We appreciate you coming by,
man. Time to upgrade.
Now, where can we find you? If we've got technical questions, how do we find you?
You can go to Edelbrock.com. And on the contact page, there's a spot for WebTech, and that's where I'm answering all of them emails.
Cool. So we can just go there and go, want to talk to Smitty. So,
Smitty at Edelbrock, that's my email.
There we go. Hey, everybody, you know, go to Edelbrock, check out all their stuff. They've been doing this for years, and, you know, we're all big fans of it. So check them out and check us out, like we told you, at shiftandsteer.com. Matt, how about you, buddy?
Yeah, follow me at Motorator as usual. Post some new stuff up there.
Aaron?
The Rat Runner's Garage and Aaron Hagar, anything is pretty easy to find.
And Smitty, are you on social media at all?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Still busy. Right.
We'll have to get you started on there.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure, Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.